Okay, we run it. All right, welcome everybody.
I know where I was going.
To the July 26th meeting of the Committee on Environment and Energy. Note we have a working quorum in the presence of Legislator Marcotte, Legislator Testa, myself, and Legislator Rogowski. Off the bat, we've got three sets of minutes. I don't know if anybody's had a chance to read them. We can either move them now or we can do it at the end of the meeting. Your pleasure.
Okay. I'll move them.
Okay.
As presented, all three.
Okay. Thank you. That would be the 14th, the 21st, and the 28th. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you very much. Note for the record, we're joined by Legislator Myers. All right. Just a couple of quick updates. Last week, we met with the administration on the MS-4 legislation. We asked them to make some revisions. We understand that the attorney who was working on that, as I think was mentioned last time, was out of the office for a while. I think Marty's back now, so Chris is working with Marty. And as we said to the administration, as soon as they turn that around, we will happily entertain it. Just to keep you all posted, Chris Crane and I tomorrow are going over, or Wednesday, going to the Rockland County Legislature for a meeting of the environment chairs of kind of the Hudson Valley region.
Cool.
So, yeah, I was at the initiative of the Rockland County folks, and Chris put together kind of a working list of what our priorities have been, and we're going to compare notes and see if there are avenues where we can work regionally. So we'll keep you posted on that. We have two items today. One is an update on the coyote situation. The other is organic lawn care. Coyotes are near and dear to me. I've been living with them for 17 years. And when
ship a few down the Rye.
Hmm?
Ship a few down the Rye. I don't have enough.
Yeah. When we first moved to Northern Westchester, we were stunned when coyotes moved into the area. And we did a lot of research on them, and we spoke to DEC, and in fact, Kevin Clark was supposed to be here today. But unfortunately, he is under the weather, so let the record reflect that this committee wishes him well, and we will get him back here. So, you know, we've had issues in Northern Westchester with coyotes. Small dogs have been attacked. Barn cats disappear. You know, when you have six dogs like we do, you're pretty safe. It's a real issue, and it's become an issue because of the two attacks that we've seen downtown. So you know they're no longer a pretty wild animal; they become a nuisance to health and safety when something like that happens. So it's only appropriate that this committee begin to look into that and see if we can be helpful. So with us today, John Baker. John, what's your exact title?
Director of Conservation.
Director of Conservation from Parks Department.
Yes.
So, John, why don't you tell us what you know, what the Parks Department is doing, what's the position, what can we be doing as a county? I turn it over to you, and then we'll go to questions from the members.
Sure. A quick update. It is unfortunate that Kevin isn't here because we are looking to the DEC. For advice. We had a meeting up in New Paltz at the regional office on July 2nd. County Parks was represented, County Police was represented, Rye Police, and a lot of folks from DEC present, as well as teleconferencing.
Can I interject?
Sure.
If there is another meeting like that, will you include the Board
sure.
of Legislators, please?
Sure, definitely will. And that was an impromptu meeting, Mr. Chairman, that actually I invited myself to.
Great.
Just so that we would kind of be on the same page, being the fact that they are saying that some of the coyotes are on Rye Golf Course, which is adjacent to marshlands, so we have an interest. Basically, what was said at that, and it was a fairly long meeting, specifically with law enforcement, to really talk about what they can do when they get a call and how they can respond, and how they can respond to complaints from, you know, constituents in their communities. And basically, it's get pots and pans, make noise, throw things, call the police. And it really is becoming an overtime issue for some police departments of having to put on additional police officers because of the coyotes. It is DEC's opinion that this is not a specific mannerism of the entire species, but one of a couple, or one or two, perhaps male coyotes who are being pushed to the fringe of territory. Really, what else came out of that meeting was the need for public education from the standpoint of every community in terms of what to do in the event that, you know, you encounter a coyote or you see one. And so what the DEC is doing is working specifically on, you know, a pamphlet, a placard that could be put out, and we will be putting all of those out in our county parks. In addition to that, when they come up with the information, we will be putting it onto our parks website under conservation, where we have other studies. And then what came about was, in the past, the county parks has done something called the Conversations on Conservation. We've done a lot of timely topics. And September 24th, we will be doing one on coyotes in suburbia, and that will be at Pace University in Pleasantville, and it will start at 8:30. And we are still lining up speakers, but who we'd like to have speak is Kevin Clark, as well as a gentleman by the name of Dan Bogan, who really the DEC looks toward for specific advice on coyotes. Dan Bogan had done a suburban coyote study in 2006 and 2007 in Yorktown, Somers, Mount Pleasant, and Greenberg. And he specifically did some trapping at Lazen, where he was successful in trapping some coyote. I believe he ended up trapping and radio collaring 10 to 13 animals, and his final report has not been finished, so we don't have all the complete information on the studies. But we've been dealing with, you know, the public, never down south. We would get phone calls during certain times of the year. When I managed Muskoot Farm, we got phone calls there, and it always seemed as though that it was somebody who saw a coyote or became frightened from a coyote, and they always had a dog with them. And it's always the same advice, is make noise, don't run, throw something at it, and continue on. And we've had them at Ward Pound Ridge, but nothing down south at all. And even at Marshlands, we've never had any type of encounter in the past or from the situation, you know, that happened earlier this year. So it's one of education, letting the public know what to do if they encounter one, and just continual vigilance on the part of everyone. So, short, developing still, but I did speak with our county police today, and I don't believe there has been any type of, I believe there was one sighting. They've been involved as a backup to assist different police departments around Rye, but things have been quiet. So hopefully it was just a rogue situation, and that has taken care of itself.
Yeah, I think to your point, I think it was a specific mannerism you said. It's not a specific mannerism. They tend to be more afraid of us than we are
exactly.
of them. You know, and I'd heard many of the same things you mentioned. If you have small pets, small cats, small dogs, keep them inside. Small children, keep them inside. If you're at all worried about them coming around your house, music, play music at night. You can hang foily things around your fences.
Right.
That will scare them. We were told even CDs, the glitter of the light on the CDs will scare them away. You know, those are the
pet food outside, because sometimes people leave their
this
pet,
is a huge
pet
thing.
Food outside.
Yeah, don't leave pet food outside. Right. Don't leave garbage outside, because the smaller animals go to the garbage that coyotes come to. You know, I know that what we do when we get a deer carcass on the lawn, I drag it down into the woods through the field, and a week later it's gone. There is not a thing left but the skin. So, you know, they're basically, they hunt smaller animals, and they're scavengers. They'll take the dying and the weak. So, all right, so we'll hope to get, oh, I'm sorry, yeah, question.
I just wanted to add on to the terrific presentation. I actually, the Rye City Council had Kevin come in and speak, and I was just going to add a few things that he said that seemed to make people feel, I think, a little less worried. He felt very strongly that these were probably very young coyote, he says, who hadn't learned yet to be afraid of humans. And that, again, the real answer is, as he said, just get big. And he even recommended with children to have them link arms, and that it just looks like a larger entity. You want to get big, get large, clap hands, make noise. Several homeowners in Rye purchased those little, the things you use in the sailing race, in regattas, the little,
the horns.
The horns. Although that also irritates neighbors. But
so does loud music at night.
So does loud music. So does architectural review boards tend to not like the CDs hanging up. People's backyards. But at any rate, there was also fear expressed there that, oh my God, what if they are rabid? And he did allay those concerns, because he noted that actually rabid animals don't travel in packs. They are spurned and shunned. And that these were two young coyote who were seen together, and that you probably wouldn't have that if one of them was rabid, and or even if they both were, that they become very dissocial, antisocial, when they're rabid. So he did. He had a lot of good. I think there was also a concern, and I think it's something that sort of the other side of the coin that I know the people in Rye were very concerned about. There were a number of people who offered to become sort of militia against the coyote, and there was definitely a residential concern raised that people really didn't want to see other people running around with guns trying to shoot at. And there was some fear about police shooting on the Boston Post Road, etc. So it does sound like they also have a very interesting, it's on YouTube, and you can get to it through myrye.com. They have a very interesting video of the trapper trapping and releasing some of the young cubs, which is interesting. They're cute, and they're little.
Yeah, they really are.
Yeah.
And I have for you, Mr. Chairman, a copy of New York State's Coyote Incident Standard Operating Procedures.
Great,
that
thank you.
Has put forth.
So okay, great, thank you, John. Any other questions or comments from the members?
Mr. Chairman, just a question with regard to: are there any projections in terms of their numbers? Because it's certainly something that it seemed to be increasing. I mean, we see them in here in Eastchester. We didn't see them 7-8 years ago. Now, over the past 4 or 5 years, we have seen them in packs on the golf course.
That was discussed at our July 2nd meeting, and they don't have specific numbers, and they don't. It's not something that they've really done any type of census on. And we use the example of deer. We really didn't start to get a census on deer till we really had to start knowing what the numbers were. So at this point in time, there isn't.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions, comments? I guess the last thing I would say is, you know, they've been sighted in Central Park and the parks in Harlem, all over the city, and I just wonder what the toll taker was thinking when they were walking across the Henry Hudson Bridge.
To see that.
Yeah. Exactly. All right, John, thank you so much.
You mean whether he charged them to come
out? Whether they had an easy pass?
If they had credit on the
John, thank you so much.
The limo company that went up.
Okay, the second part of our discussion today is grassroots environmental education. We're going to talk about organic lawn care and reduced pesticide practices, which is always important to our water quality efforts. Come on up. So we have Patty Wood, Doug Wood, and Ellen Weiniger. Thank you all for coming. You know, we really had a robust discussion, I guess it was a year and a half ago when we undertook the phosphorus legislation that really went on for two full years working with the industry and the golf course industry and the water quality folks and EPA and DEP and DEC, and it was a robust discussion. And one of the issues that came up was, should organics be exempted from the phosphorus ban that's going to go into effect in 2011. So it's good to see you back. Thank you for coming in. And just for the recorder, please introduce yourselves, and we'll turn it over to you.
Okay. I'm Patty Wood, Executive Director of Grassroots Environmental Education.
I'm Doug Wood, the Associate Director of Grassroots Environmental Education.
And I'm Ellen Weiniger, the Westchester Educational Outreach Coordinator.
Great. Thank you.
Well, first of all, thank you for inviting us here. This is great. We always like coming to Westchester County. You may know that you're way ahead on many of these issues compared to other counties in the local area, and certainly when it comes to the country at large. So as a national environmental organization, we often point to Westchester as an example of how it could and should be done. That being said, there's always room for improvement. So we're happy that
never let it happen.
The rest of the country.
Never
way.
We're happy to be here. I thought I would start out just by, first of all, a little bit about grassroots. We are an environmental health nonprofit. Our mission is to educate the public about the links between common environmental exposures and human health issues. We focus a lot on children because children are disproportionately affected and exposed to environmental toxins. And pesticides is one of the things that's always at the top of the list. You know, pesticides have been around, you know, since World War II, really, the most common pesticides. And you know, the science is, as in many cases, it takes a while for science to catch up with commerce. Commerce likes to rush out. We have a new product. Isn't it great? Does all these wonderful things. You know, and science lags behind because it takes a long time to do the studies. But, you know, we're getting to the point where I think it's fair to say that the balance is tipping in favor of organic lawn care. This past year, we conducted a survey in Westchester County called How Green Is My Town, a project we did together with Pace University. We had 142 criteria points that we thought represented what made a town green. We divided, and by towns, we were looking for contiguous geographical areas that shared a common school system. So they weren't really towns in the legal sense. Some of them were cities like the city of White Plains, which happened to come out top of the list, by the way. And some of them were unincorporated areas, but everybody, you know, talks about them as if they're towns and so on. We found some interesting things. One of the things that we found is that 64% of the towns in Westchester County have some sort of a prohibition against using any pesticides at all on their town or land. And when I say Westchester's way out front, that's one of the things I'm talking about, is local communities taking action. You know, they recognize the health effects, and they've really done a good job trying to mitigate those effects. We actually produced a report. I brought a few copies with me today. I'll be glad to make as many more copies as you want available, but it's on the web. It's our analysis of what we found in Westchester County, and it occurred to me that we had a big press conference over at Pace University, and I think the towns were all real interested. I'm not sure this information ever got to the Board of Legislators, and I think you might find it interesting. It's not very long.
We'd love to.
I remember when it was ongoing.
it's an interesting snapshot of where we are. Now, it was such a big success. Pace came back to us and said, we're going to do this every year, right? And we said, well, okay, if you really want to. So we're going to do it again this year and measure progress, you know, see what the towns are doing. A lot of the towns took the criteria we developed for how great is my town and used it as a blueprint for moving forward. But then, you know, we're really happy to see that.
The most important finding we had was that communities or towns that had a single individual who was dedicated to overseeing environmental actions or whatever for the town were the ones that really, really scored much higher than towns that didn't have a single person who was responsible. So a director of environmental affairs, or you take an employee who is doing something else and actually give them another hat to wear and make them, you know, responsible for overseeing environmental issues for the town made a huge difference. Where this was lacking, the towns were set pointing fingers all over. I think this guy's doing that, and you have to check with this guy. When we called the Yonkers, because some of the students at Pace were having a really difficult time getting any kind of answers out of Yonkers. And in fact, the day that I finally called, knowing that I would have to speak to 14 different departments in Yonkers to get the answers to this survey, it was the first day of a guy's employment there for the city of Yonkers, and he was going to be the director of environmental affairs. So it was a great opportunity for him to go to these 14 different departments there and coordinate everything that they were doing, and he got back to me about a week later and had all the answers. He says this was the best first day I could have had on the job, where I could find out what everybody was doing. It was very disjointed and disconnected at that point. So White Plains has done so well because of the leadership of Bud Nicoletti. When you think about White Plains and you compare that city to the city of Yonkers, I mean, they really should borrow Bud for a year to help them to coordinate. And we're actually going to try to to facilitate that that interaction between White Plains and Yonkers, because it would just be really interesting to see how far they could go in a year's time with that that kind of leadership from.
Legislator Burton had his hand up real quick.
I attended the meeting, actually.
Oh, good.
And actually, Chris Crane and I were there, not by prearrangement. Chris took it as part of his official responsibilities, and I took it because I was interested.
Good.
The sense of competition in the room was pretty high.
Yes, it was.
In fact, there were a couple of people who were really bummed out that White Plains got it when they thought. I think particularly Mayor Feld felt that her community should have gotten it. But it's terrific because you got exactly, I think, what you want. You give an award out not because you want to pat people on the head, but because you want to use some competition.
Exactly right.
And it worked out rather well. And I do hope you'll do it. I can imagine it was exhausting
work. Well, thank you very much. All the results of our interviews are available on the internet, which keeps it interesting because people can go and see what they're doing.
Can you give that website or that URL?
HowGreenIsMyTown.org, all one word. Go to Westchester ratings and go click on any town. There's a list of the towns right down the left-hand side. Click on any one. You can see what their score is. And you can drill down and see their individual answers to all the individual questions.
Quick question. Okay. Now, clearly you guys were out front on this, but there was another group that did this as well.
Mm-hmm.
Was there a difference in the data that you looked at? I'm not trying to talk about sibling rivalry
here.
No,
we have no rivalry with anyone.
Yeah.
They were doing a project, I think it was League of Conservation Brothers,
yes.
Am I right?
Yes.
The law school. Yeah, with the law school, and they were looking at carbon footprint.
Gotcha.
And that's really important, but our program is more holistic because climate change and sustainability and environmental health are all inextricably linked, and not too many people talk about environmental health, but for instance, diesel exhaust is a major, greenhouse gas. It's also not a sustainable material, and it causes some very, very serious human health problems. In fact, it's one of the few substances on a short list from the EPA that says there's no safe level of exposure to humans. Zero.
Yeah.
So.
And this board, several years ago, passed a prohibition against diesel idling. And I guess it was, what was it, Judy? Last year or 2 years ago, we passed no idling of any kind longer than 3 minutes.
Right. Right. Yeah, the EPA is saying
that's
3 minutes is way too long.
3 minutes is three minutes too much.
Yeah, they're saying this, which is why we have in one of our programs that's specifically geared toward schools, our Child Safe School program, we basically say zero idling.
Right.
I mean, and we have a new program called NIMNI, which is no idling means no idling. And we're partnering with the New York State PTA now because there is a state ed regulation, a law, saying that at every school in New York State, you have to turn off your engines. There is no idling. And it's not being enforced. And so now the PTA, you know, in partnership with Grassroots, we're going to go after every school district to make them understand that this law means no idling. Because children are particularly
vulnerable. There's an exemption, though, for hot weather and very cold weather.
Yes, there's some reasonable exceptions.
Yeah.
Emergency vehicles and things like that. But otherwise, no vehicles.
There is another exception. I just wanted to make the distinction that Hebuenas My Town is also all about solutions and policy solutions and all sorts of links to resources. So it really diverges from the other project that was done with Pace Law School in that.
And we're trying to provide the answers.
It's really.
We ask the questions, we give them the answers. What
we're
else
like,
do you want?
Hello?
I want to get back to pesticides, lawn pesticides, because that's what we're here about. We came here 5 years ago for the first time. We came up to this eighth floor. We made a presentation to Susan Tolchin and some other people, and we said, we'd like to come to Westchester County, and we'd like to train landscapers in the science of natural lawn care. We'd like you to co-sponsor it with us, but we're not asking for any money. And I really think they thought we were crazy because they smiled and shook our hands and said goodbye, and we didn't hear anything from them for a while. I called them up again and said, you know, what's up? What we wanted was we wanted the weight of the county behind our program to give it, you know, some legitimacy and make it easier for us to operate the program. And it turned out to be a spectacular program for which we won an EPA Environmental Quality Award. The Grassroots Healthy Lawn Program is the premier training program for landscapers pretty much in the whole tri-state area. Patty's going to talk later about we're expanding into Connecticut. And we've just got a lot of requests for this. But we teamed up with the New York State Turf and Landscape Association, you know, the landscape professionals, the guys who do this for a living. We pitched it to them as a business thing. We're not here to tell you what you're doing is wrong. We're here to tell you that the market's going to change. We want you to be ready for it. And with that basis, they were ready to work with us, and we had a very, very good relationship with them. The relationship didn't last as long as we were hoping, because it wasn't long before the chemical companies saw what was happening and put the squeeze on these small organizations that depend on the funding of the chemical industries for support for their membership and their meetings. These guys sponsor everything these organizations do. And I got calls from a couple of people who said, you know, this just is making us sick, but we're not going to be able to do this. We had a couple of seminars planned.
Lasted for 4 years.
We can't do it anymore. Okay. By that point, we had trained almost 250 landscapers in Westchester. Not just landscapers, but school turf managers, town, which is why we got to that 64% number. I think Grassroots can take a little bit of credit for that, because we trained all these guys in how to do it. This is science. This is not just, we're not going to use pesticides anymore. This is understanding what nature has put in place to help us grow stuff, and basically allowing that to happen and not interfering too much. You know, every time we think we're smarter than nature, it turns out that we're not. And it's almost without exception that has turned out to be true. Pesticides looked great. You could put down these pesticides, you could kill all the weeds, just the grass would grow. Isn't it great? Well, it hasn't worked out that way. But we've had a very, very successful program with the Grassroots Healthy Mind program, and as I said, we are expanding into other places because there's been some statewide legislation. And I'm going to let Patty talk about what's happening in New York State.
On May 18th, Governor Patterson signed a really, really impressive piece of legislation. First in the nation, a complete prohibition on the use of pesticides on all school properties and athletic fields. Kindergarten through 12th grade, public, private, parochial, and daycare centers. Across the board. It goes into effect a year from that date, so next May. We are about a year and a half behind Connecticut. Connecticut actually also has a similar piece of legislation, but theirs only goes through 8th grade. And theirs is already in effect. It went into effect in July, this month, 1st of July, I believe. So we are going into Connecticut first, starting in September. We have 6 dates in September where we will do all-day trainings in Connecticut. We've broken up the state into 6 different regions, and we will do trainings for school facilities directors or turf managers in Connecticut. And then we begin in November. We're going to do November, December, January in New York State from Montauk to Buffalo, and we will be training schools in all of New York State. This is a really, really significant piece of legislation. Basically, the state has recognized that pesticide use at schools is unacceptable because of the health impacts. And at the same time, of course, they are, you know, protecting water supplies, which you're more than you know, familiar with here in the county, and just keeping these toxins out of you know, ecosystems and out of wildlife areas. Not even wildlife areas. I mean, you know, birds are all over the place. You can't confine them. We lose more than, 70 million wild birds every year to pesticide poisoning. And that's just homeowners' use of pesticides. So these big areas at schools are having an impact. So that's pretty exciting. That's pretty amazing. Since that happened, we have gone to New Hampshire, to Concord, to testify in front of the legislature up there about what we were doing in New York State. They are drafting similar legislation up there. And we're going to Boulder, Colorado. You know, so this is what we hoped would happen, that, you know, a state like New York would take this this really strong stand on this, and that other states would stand up and look at it and say, okay, you know what? We didn't want to be the first ones, but, you know, but we certainly can use this as a precedent and try to move things along here. So that's where we are. And
one of the things I think that tipped the balance here and made New York State move in this, well, or two things. First of all, we told them we would go train everybody for free. That's not a big deal. So that was cited, actually, as one of the reasons people voted for it. And we will do that. But the other thing is that we produced a report. We've been looking at the cost of organic lawn care, which, as you all know, and the chemical company's been ramming this down everybody's throat for years. Organic lawn care is great, but it's very expensive, and it doesn't really work. Well, we've been looking at the cost of organic lawn care. One of the things that's happened is there have been tremendous developments in compost tea. Compost tea turns out to be this unbelievably great thing that, if it's carefully done, can really bring down the cost of organic lawn care. You need to have a certain level of soil biology in the soil, but once you get to that point, you know, the numbers just cross, and organic lawn care turns out to be a lot less expensive. 25% less expensive in year 5. We produced this report. I brought copies with me, so I've got one for each of you. A cost comparison of conventional turf management and natural organic turf management for school athletic fields. We used the data from the school sports management association themselves. A lot of it turned out to be the cost of water, because water for conventionally chemically managed turf is a significant factor. If there's a great video online that I saw the other day. It's all about Harvard going completely organic and using compost tea, and they were showing the root growth I'm not going to get real technical here, but the root in their chemically maintained soil, the roots were about, I don't know, an inch and a half, maybe 2 inches long. They pulled up a piece of soil they'd been treating with compost tea for about a year and a half. The roots were about that long. And you understand why it is that natural turf survives the occasional drought where chemically maintained turf just needs water, water, water. The cost of water is going up. So part of the expenses that we were working at was the cost of water. But, you know.
And I'd let you just make a comment. We have offices in Port Washington, which is our main office, and also here in Rye. But in Port Washington, there are two interesting things going on. The fire department has a large piece of property, and they have pesticide flags on there all the time. I mean, you know, every 3 weeks they've got those signs posted. And the Port Washington Public Library also has a beautiful lawn, and they have no signs ever posted on it. And it's just like picture perfect, only grass, no weeds, no brown spots, because that lawn has been maintained organically for 2 years now, and all they use is compost tea, and they oversee that property. The fire department's got, you know, they've got all kinds of, you know, bare spots, and all the grass is brown, and, you know, they've got that, what's that grass? I mentioned it this morning here on a walk.
Goose
grass. Goose grass, and they've got weeds all over, and they've got the pesticide flags, and they're just going in there all the time because lawns are suffering right now because of the drought. And then we have a drought, and then we have this, like, you know, deluge of, you know, of water, and lawns don't respond well to that, except lawns that are, you know, that are naturally maintained, and they're okay with whatever. Hit me with it, you know. Let me show you what I can do. And that lawn, I can guarantee, at the library, has probably got roots like this, so that it's, you know, it's getting a steady supply of moisture that is, you know, down in that soil that is loaded with biological, you know, content, you know, beneficial bacteria and fungi and nematodes and so on, that just, you know, keep it, you know, happy and healthy throughout this growing season. Okay. I just wanted to mention, and Ellen just gave me a little note, just a couple of other initiatives that the state is undertaking right now. The DEC has a new program called Be Green Organic Lawns, kind of an odd name for
yards.
Be Green Organic Yards.
It's the worst name. If you could think of a worse name, let me know. But
anyway, what they're doing is they're actually encouraging training. They're encouraging landscapers that typically only, you know, see the DEC for their annual, you know, pesticide application permit. They have to show that they've been to, you know, a few trainings, and then they get their permit for the next year. Now they're actually saying, you take a course in organic turf management, and we will give you a special sticker, and we will list you as a landscaper, you know, on our website that can do this kind of turf maintenance. So DEC is involved in now encouraging the very training. In fact, we are one of the trainers for the DEC. Encouraging this to happen, they can. You know, I mean, they know all the problems with pesticides.
Well, let me ask you a quick question. Do you do any cross pollinization with Cornell Cooperative Extension, since they do a lot of this type of work?
They've come to a couple of our trainings. I think they find it very difficult to participate in these programs. Their funding.
Because of their funding.
We know where their funding comes from, and you know, yep. Rick Harper is one of the greatest guys I know. He was such a terrific person. In fact, we get along with all those guys really well. But they're caught right in the middle, to be honest with you. They're, you know, their funding's being
university
cut.
Funding is,
you know,
all. Dow, Monsanto.
They are completely
Bayer.
So I don't, it doesn't surprise me.
They have a tough time. We were actually in Albany at the CDC meeting for this Be Green Organic Yards, and Cornell was at the table, and they just, you know, they had a very tough time. I mean, they literally sided with the industry on every issue at that table.
Let me just, in terms of our schedule here, we've got about 10, 15 minutes, because unfortunately there's another meeting in this room. And I'm sorry to rush you. Let me just open it up to legislators now to see if anybody has any questions.
Somebody asked me about IPM, please.
Okay.
If you have a question.
So Someone want to ask him about IPM?
Sure. What's IPM?
Good. Thank you for asking.
Thank you, Legislator Abinanti.
Integrated Pesticide Management, which is the original name of IPM, is a program developed by the industry for that exact purpose, to integrate pesticides into turf management. That's what it's designed to do. It leaves every single pesticide on the table. It doesn't get rid of anything. It relies completely on the interest level and the integrity of the people that are supposed to be administering this. And I'm not going to take anything away from many of the people who have worked hard on IPM programs, but to be honest with you, it's over. IPM was a bridge between where we were in the 70s and where we are now. There's no reason for an IPM policy. There's no reason to be putting a pesticide on turf. You know, dandelions are not biting people. I mean, you know, it's just kind of silly when you think about it. And when I read the, you know, the exclamations from the industry about how, you know, if you don't use pesticides, you might have a bear spot, Johnny might trip, and he's going to hurt himself, and you're going to have, you know, a personal injury lawsuits.
Use bear spots anyway.
What?
But what are they going to do with all that stuff that they made?
They could do what one of the big companies was when the EPA, this, I love this story, when the EPA banned this particular chemical and said, you may not sell this in the United States, they donated it to the soccer clubs of America and took a tax write-off.
What actually happened is there's diazinon, which is an organophosphate, and you know it has neurotoxic properties, and they decided that its use was too risky because children were, you know, being affected by this, because children roll around in the grass the way adults do not. So they actually had to pull it off by December 31st of 2001 or whatever it was, 2003, I can't remember. And it was only banned for sale to the consumer, still allowed to be used by the industry. And so they literally took it off the shelves at Home Depot and whatever, and they did donate it to soccer clubs, to PYA fields, to youth athletic fields, to private schools. I mean, we know where it was donated. And in fact, without mentioning any names, we actually know personally the president of this company that makes these products, which are the most common products for the homeowner, for lawn care. And he personally uses compost tea on his property, no pesticides at all. So it's really very interesting. But getting back to IPM, I'm a commissioner for the town of North Hempstead, ecological commissioner for the town of North Hempstead, which incorporates 17 towns on Long Island. And one of the first jobs they gave me was to rewrite or to update their IPM policy. And I said that I couldn't do that I would change it so that it was an OPM, organic pest management policy. And I looked around the country for other policies, and one existed in Arcata, California, a small town, Southern California. And they also sent me, which was interesting, and this is back in 1997, Westchester County's pest control strategies. And it was very interesting to read what Westchester County was doing. Already at that time, there was a move toward reducing pesticide use, but all very complicated with lots of records being kept and, you know, and exemptions being made. And
was that written by Roberta Warnick? She still has something.
It doesn't give
well,
credit.
Today
to the
they finally have funding and a coordinator, kind of like you were speaking of in the beginning, who can talk to all the different departments and make recommendations and guidelines.
Can I ask the question? You're referring to that. I was going to ask you the question. Have you been in touch with our pest management committee?
Yes. Ellen is in touch with them on a regular basis. I used to be on it, and they have been made aware of the program right from its inception in 2004. And as we have trainings or anything related to pesticide issues, they do receive emails.
Because maybe it would be helpful if you guys met with them.
Well,
Mr. Chairman, suggesting that maybe it would be helpful if they met with our pest management committee.
Sure, absolutely.
We have met a couple of times. Lucy Waleski is on that committee, and she's on our board of directors.
So you're,
there's, yes,
to use his word, cross-pollinating.
Yep.
The problem, I want to say, I don't want to say the problem, but Cornell Cooperative as well,
Is in that group as well.
They're in that group.
Right.
To be fair, they're not a complete organic organization or pest management.
No, not at all.
They're trying to wind down and use least toxic, but they're not.
Exactly. I was actually going to leave this with you, too, because this was the OPM policy that I finally came up with for the town. And basically, there's a waiver in here. I mean, no pesticides are allowed to be used. And we actually separated structural pesticide use from turf pesticide use, because you have to. I mean, structural pesticides, can remediate, damaging, like termites and, those kinds of things. And there's public health issues with rodents in buildings and all kinds of things. So we literally just said, you know what, that's a separate issue completely, and that's where IPM actually can play a role. Organic pest management for turf is where we should all be, okay? Because there's never a public health threat, okay, from a dandelion or an infestation or something that can be remediated through other means other than toxins. But there's a waiver, a 30-day waiver to use IPM. If there's a problem, like the loss of a tree, perhaps, an important tree on a town square, or an athletic field where there's going to be a major game played or something, and they're going to go in, they're going to use IPM for the 30 days, and after that, then they go back to organic pest management. But I thought that you might find this useful, interesting reading for an organic pest management.
We should make sure that it gets a copy.
Chris, could you grab that, Chris?
Sure. We should make sure a copy of it goes to the if they don't already have it.
No one has that. I think they need your
leadership. No, we'll do it. We'll do it.
So, any more questions? We'd love to.
Any more questions you want to be asked?
Yeah, I'm sorry we had to rush a little bit. It turned out to be a crazy day, and they've got another meeting. This is just, I consider the beginning of this conversation. Before I got here, for years I was on the board of a foundation in California, and a lot of what they did was reducing the harmful effect from exposure to toxins, pesticides, and chemicals. So, I applaud your work, and I want to talk to you more about it. So, thanks for coming in.
Let us know how we can be helpful.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Do we have any new business? Okay, we'll entertain a motion.
Can Chris make us copies of that?
Chris is going to make, and of all the reports.
Perfect.
As well, right, Chris?
Yeah.
Thanks. Okay.
So move.
All in favor? We need to do.
Should you second it?
Yeah, I'll second.
All right. We're closed.
No minutes.
Thank you. We did minutes first.
Oh, we did.
So, how you doing?
We did minutes first. Yeah.